Dan Shulman is MLB play-by-play voice on Sportsnet and ESPN. And Dan Shulman joins us. I believe you're on the way to Detroit, are you not?
I am. I did the Jays game for ESPN Radio last night, but a friend and colleague of mine, John Shambi, is under the weather and couldn't answer the bell for the ESPN TV game last night in Detroit, and they're playing again this afternoon on TV. So I found out in about the seventh inning last night that I was going to Detroit today. So
yikes.
I'm approaching Windsor as we speak.
There you go. Well, extend our best to John, and hopefully he gets better soon.
Yes.
Man, I don't know. Yeah, you know, Danny, I don't know where to start after last night's game. I mean, I guess the obvious talking point is Jason Grilli and Roberto Osuna. You know, it's funny because we spent so much time, so much of this year talking about should Aaron Sanchez end up in the bullpen, should he end up in the starting rotation? I mean, at this point, I think most people would look at the situation and say the Jays are going to be life and death if they have to rely on Jason Grilli and Roberto Osuna the rest of the way, aren't they?
Well, their bullpen was kind of thin even before Benoit got hurt, in my opinion. I mean, and I suspect last night if Benoit had been healthy that he might have been in there in the eighth inning. That maybe, you know, because he'd been pitching so well, maybe he would have been given the slightly higher leverage situations than Grilli, who by and large has been fantastic, but has had a couple of big, you know, big situations that have gone against him recently. And he may just be hitting a wall. He may just be fatigued at this point of the season. I mean, after all, the guy's 39 years old, and he's pitched a lot this year. But yeah, it's a concern. I mean, to have half pitch as well as he did on Monday and not win the game, and to have Liriano pitch brilliantly last night and not win the game. I mean, those are emotionally demoralizing games. And if they win either of those games, they're virtually assured of a playoff spot at this point. But it kind of feels like they're staggering to the finish line right now. And you know, say tonight Stroman gives them six good innings and they're leading 2-1, which is how like every Blue Jays game seems to go right now, then what? I guess Biagini can pitch. He pitched two innings 2 days ago. Hopefully Biagini can pitch. Osuna's not going to be pitching tonight. He pitched the last 2 days and four of the last five. I mean, Biagini could be the closer tonight. And if Biagini can't go, who's pitching 7-8-9? It could be Schultz and Barnes and Tapera for the Blue Jays tonight.
Do you think the answer is to put one of those starters in the bullpen? I mean, that would seem to be the obvious answer. But then
next 4 days, like in the regular season, you mean?
If you have to.
Well, assuming Stroman starts tonight.
Right.
I mean, you're not putting Estrada in the pen.
No.
You're not putting Happ in the pen.
You're not going to put Sanchez in the pen.
You're not putting Sanchez in the pen. So I think they're past that point, to be honest with you. I mean, unless they decide today that they're going to put Stroman in the pen, and then who starts tonight? So I don't really think they can. I mean, obviously, if they make the playoffs, you would figure either Stroman or Liriano is going to the bullpen.
Right.
They have a luxury. They have five really good starting pitchers, and they're all coming back next year. That's the great news. But they're kind of hemmed in right now in the bullpen. I really don't know what they can do other than hope some of the guys that they have pitch better than they have. And they, you know, one thing they can do more, I think, and is sometimes when a guy's in there and he's going good, leave him in a little bit longer. Like Brett Cecil looks good and he looks healthy right now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, instead of two batters, can you do four or five batters? Let him face a couple of righties. And John Gibbons is no different than just about any other manager in baseball. You know, the lefty comes in to face the lefty and then the righty comes in to face the righty. But as a result, guys are making more appearances. They're getting up and down more, but they're not logging that many innings. So, again, there are only 4 days left, but, you know, maybe Cecil closes tonight, now that I think about it. If they have a safe situation, you know, maybe Brett Cecil's the guy. But at some point over the next 4 days, if this team is going to make the playoffs, they are likely going to need somebody out of Tapera, Barnes, or Schultz, somebody like that, to get them some big outs.
Yikes. Okay. you're right. I mean, that's exactly where we are right now. It's funny because, you know, John Gibbons has said for the past 10 days or so, Danny, and I mean, I know you've been in some of his discussions too. I mean, he's talked about Brett Cecil and he sort of publicly at least expressed a fair amount of confidence in him.
Yeah.
But, you know, he had him up three times two nights ago and didn't get him in the game. Now, he was only throwing two of those times. The other times, as Brett said, he was up stretching. but he expected to get in the game, and John didn't put him in the game at that point. He went with Osuna with a 5-1 lead, and I kind of see that in a way. You want to put that game to bed, but I'm as we sit here right now, I just don't know how much confidence John Gibbons really has in Brett Cecil. Quite frankly, I understand Brett Cecil hasn't always performed well in high leverage situations, but we're down to short strokes here.
Yeah, I mean, the later you get in the season, the more you need to worry about just winning today. Like, if it's May, you'll lose a battle to win a war, right?
Right.
But now, every battle is the war. So you got to, and I hate to use the military analogy, but you know what I mean. So, and so I understand, in June, Osuna's not in there in a 5-1 game. I understand September the 28th or whatever it was that he is in there in a 5-1 game. And you'd like to have it back. You'd like to have a Cecil having pitched the night before and then Osuna pitching last night, and maybe things are different. And you can understand that it's taking a while for John Gibbons to get that trust back in Cecil. But if you're ranking current healthy relievers on a trust scale with John Gibbons, I still think Osuna's one.
Mm-hmm.
I think Biagini is two.
Yep.
And I think Cecil's three. Like, unless there are some other guys I'm forgetting, I mean, that's it right now. You know, the loss of Benoit should not be underestimated. That was a major, major loss. And, it's impossible to quantify what that will cost the Blue Jays over the next few days. But it means you don't have a guy who's been great for you. It means you have to go to another guy who's tired. It means you have to push another guy harder than he's used to being pushed. I mean, that was, as you know as well as I do, baseball is different than it was 25, 30 years ago. Back then it was starter, closer, game over. Now it's starter, seventh inning guy, left-handed specialist, eighth inning guy, closer. And they've they've lost a key guy. And the only way around it is for some guys in lesser roles to step up and pitch better. And maybe for John Gibbons, maybe to think, maybe to get away from matchups just a little bit, which again is not the way most guys do it right now.
Mm-hmm.
But if a guy's out there and he's pitching well and he's had a 3-up, 3-down inning, send it back out there again. I mean, maybe ride the hot hand. But there's no right and wrong. There's no black and white. I mean, this is all shades of gray. And objectively, if you look at their bullpen compared to Baltimore's bullpen right now, I mean, they just, the Blue Jays bullpen is really, really thin.
Right. And, when you talk about guys like Stroman or Liriano, we should make clear we are talking about, going to playoffs, putting one of them in the bullpen. It'd be possible at this point to put them in, which, I mean, and that gets to the question before you worry about what you're going to do with your bullpen in the playoffs. You do have to get there. What have you seen from Osuna recently? There's been a couple of games ago, he shook off Russ Martin an awful lot. There's kind of been this narrative around this team, and I don't know what it is, but it seems at times as if Roberto Osuna and Russ Martin aren't always on the same page.
I don't know. In fact, I know. I'm not qualified to do anything more than speculate, right? So,
mm-hmm.
I mean, every pitcher shakes, just about every pitcher shakes off a catcher. Just about every veteran catcher has a pretty good idea of what he wants him to throw. And for me to say the pitcher's right or the catcher's right, I'm just not qualified to say that.
Yeah.
I don't think, I think very few of us are qualified,
yes,
to say that, to be honest with you. So,
and a lot of times it's a decoy too. I mean,
yes,
we should mention that. A lot of times it's a decoy.
Yes. And you know what, if the Mark Burleys, the guys who just see the sign and throw the pitch every single time, I mean, that's a unicorn, right? That's one in a million. They don't make many guys like that. So, and to each his own. And I think part of what makes Osuna as good as he is, obviously he's got great stuff, but you got to have more than great stuff out there. And he should have a pretty good idea of what he wants to throw. And I think a little healthy back and forth between a pitcher and catcher is a good thing. You know, his velocity last night, I mean, the pitch that got hit out is 96. There was nothing wrong with 96. Now, we've heard for years that when pitchers get tired, it's not so much velocity, it's the command and the location, because they're using everything they have to hump it up to the max velocity that they can get. I thought Kim had an unbelievable at bat, and you said just before I came on, he fouled off 3-2 strike pitches.
Mm-hmm.
Basuna, and before the last couple of weeks, seemed to overpower people some, and I think he was just locating his fastball and his slider better. I mean, he was getting quicker outs. Now there's more foul balls. He's having to show the hitter more of what he has, every single pitch that he has. I think he even threw a changeup in that at bat to Kim either on a 1-2 or a 2-2, and it missed badly up and away. He took it for, actually, he fouled it off. That was one of the pitches he fouled it off, but it was way up in the zone, not where you want to throw it. It was either a changeup or a slider that just didn't do much at all, but I think it was a changeup. But he's just not getting as many swings and misses, I think, as he was earlier in the season. I mean, these things will happen. I always feel, you know, the other guys are trying too. Sometimes you tip your cap and you give Kim some credit for a great at bat. But, I think the hidden story of last night's game, yeah, Grilly gave up a run and yeah, Osuna gave up two, but the offense didn't add on. The offense didn't hit at all. They were gifted a run in the first inning. They got a run on a sacrifice fly in the second inning. And they had some opportunities. You know, they had, you know, hit batter, walk, bases loaded, didn't get a run home. Bautista had the base running mistake that cost them. Carrera, unfortunately for him, overslid the bag at second, and then Donaldson doubles in the next at bat. That cost them a run. So part of this is on the bullpen, but part of this is on the offense as well.
Right, and you know, as several people were pointing out on Twitter, the answer, the obvious answer is score 9 runs. I mean, it sounds silly, but that's the obvious answer to what ails this team right now. Score 9 runs.
Absolutely. If they beat up Ubaldo Jimenez tonight, and by the way, he's pitching better lately. His six starts have been good. I have never seen a Blue Jays team play so many 2-1 games or, you know, one-run games, low-scoring one-run games into the late innings. They're physically and emotionally taxing on a team. And you're right. The easy answer is put a 6-spot up early, and then you win the game. And then you can go to the other relievers. And then you can say, you know, Jim Leland said, when you use your bullpen the way you want to use it, it does well. When you use your bullpen, you know, the way you need to use it, beyond the way you want to use it, then you're asking for trouble. And right now, they're pushing their relievers a little bit harder than ideally they would like to, and that's because every game is a one-run game. If they hit, never mind as well as they did last year, halfway between what they've done this year and last year, they'd have 7-8 more wins, I think, because there's a domino effect. You know, if you win that game easily, you save this reliever for the next game, and maybe you don't have to push the next reliever as hard, and on and on and on. But they're just not, you know, they've had the odd breakout game, a 9-run game, a 10-run game here. But I think John Gibbons would take 4-5 every day rather than a 10-1 and then a 9-1, that kind of thing.
Danny, we're going to let you run. Safe drive to Detroit. And are you going to be in Boston for the final series?
Yeah, ESPN's picking up the game tomorrow night. So I'm just there for Friday. We're doing the first one on TV down in the States. And then I'm heading back home and just going to be doing what a lot of people are doing. I'll be in front of my TV over the weekend.
Well, I hope the weather cooperates in Boston. It appears as if
so good right now.
It doesn't. Dan, again, safe drive to Detroit. And thanks for doing this. I really appreciate it.
All right, John.